Good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on with our series in the book of Judges. We've been calling it Dumb Tax. We're looking at the cycle that goes on during the nation in the nation of Israel during the time of the period of the Judges, about a 350-year period where the nation of Israel continually turns away from the Lord. They turn away. God turns them over to their enemies. Things get so bad that they eventually cry out to God and they say, Lord, will you help us? And they're not usually sorry for their sin as much as they're just sorry for the consequences of their sin. And then God, in his mercy, raises up a judge or a deliverer, somebody to come and rescue them. And this particular deliverer, this judge that we saw this week, was a guy named Samson. Samson is a familiar figure for perhaps many of us, the strong man Samson. His story is actually really interesting. He's set aside from the time that he's born. He is set aside, chosen by the Lord to be this judge, this deliverer. And he's what's called a Nazarite. He takes a Nazarite vow where his whole life he kind of has to live by some different rules, in a sense, as part of being set aside or chosen by God. He can't cut his hair. He can't go near a dead body or a carcass. He's not allowed to drink alcohol or even eat grapes or drink grape juice. And what we see throughout the course of Samson's life is that it seems like he pretty much breaks every one of those rules. He breaks the vow that he's made to the Lord. He is extremely gifted by God. He is blessed by God. The text actually said from the time that he's born, he's just blessed by God. And the Spirit of the Lord would often come on Samson and give him incredible strength. And he really becomes a hero in a lot of ways. He delivers the people of Israel. He defeats the Philistines single-handedly on a number of occasions. And he becomes kind of this hero, this heroic figure. And yet it seems like, if I can say it this way, and this is the way I said it on Sunday, being gifted is not the same thing as being godly. Samson does not have the character to match that gifting. He's very gifted. He's very blessed by the Lord. He's chosen. He's set aside by God for this work. But he does not cultivate character in his life. He does not ask the Lord, Lord, will you grow my character? Grow me in spiritual maturity. Let my spiritual maturity outpace even my giftedness. Instead, you could say in some ways he seems to kind of rely on that giftedness or that kind of being blessed by the Lord, and his character, again, doesn't grow with it. In fact, what we see is he makes a number of poor decisions. He, one point in time, he goes and eats honey out of a dead carcass. He finds a beehive and a carcass, and he ends up scooping out honey, which is breaking his Nazarite vow. He's not allowed to go near a dead body, but he does that simply to go get some honey to eat something sweet. At one point in time, he throws a giant feast, and it seems likely that at this 7-day feast, there probably would have been drinking there, and likely, we don't know for sure, but likely he took part in that and probably broke the second part of his vow. And then also, in the final part of the story, he tells Delilah, the Philistine woman that he's fallen in love with, that the source of his strength is his long hair, which is kind of true, but not true. I mean, the source of his strength is the Lord, but part of his Nazarite vow is that he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. And so she ends up cutting his hair. And so his Nazarite vow has been fully broken. And that ends up being sort of his downfall. After his hair is cut, the Lord leaves him. His strength leaves him. And he is caught by the Philistines and has his eyes gouged out. And they make him put him in prison and make him grind grain. And as you look at his story, you know, a lot of times the things that are highlighted in his story are, hey, Samson was a super strong man, but Samson made really poor choices in sort of the sexual arena. And in his romantic life, he made poor choices. And those things are true. Those are definitely true. I kind of teased with our folks as you read the story of he and Delilah. I mean, it's sad, and there's also almost like a comedic nature to it. You know, the Philistines come to Delilah and say, hey, we'll pay you a ton of money if you'll help us take down Samson, basically find out his secret. And so she goes through this process of asking him, hey, what's the secret to your strength? You know, how do we subdue you? And he says, you know, if I'm bound with two ropes, right? Two brand new ropes, and then I'll be just like any other man. And, you know, the next morning he wakes up and whoa, lo and behold, he's bound with two ropes, and the Philistines just happen to be there. And this goes on a number of times where she keeps asking him, and he's like, hey, if you put my hair in a loom, right, take the braids of my hair and put it in a loom. And he wakes up the next morning and his hair's in a loom, and the Philistines happen to be there. And you're thinking, hey, at what point in time do you look at this person and start to become suspicious of what's going on? And yet, as I, you know, said to our folks on Sunday morning, we all know that when you're infatuated with someone, you tend to make very poor decisions, right? People who are in those relationships where everybody else can see it, but that person can't seem to see what's right in front of their face, or they just don't want to admit it. And so that absolutely gets Samson into trouble. His choices, his sinful choices in the area of sexuality, his sinful choices in the area of romance absolutely get him in trouble. But there's a bigger point to the narrative. You see things like this concept of giftedness, not necessarily being godliness. It's a warning to us to ask the Lord to develop spiritual maturity in our lives, even as he gifts us. We are all in Christ, chosen and set apart by the Lord. But that kindness, that grace that Christ has shown us is meant to lead us to repentance, not to lead us into pride. It's meant to lead us into humility, to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, we know we don't deserve the grace and kindness and the gifting that you've given us. And so we should be humble out of that. There's also this wonderful comfort that even though Samson is sinful, God still uses him. His bad decisions don't ruin God's ultimate and perfect plans. And the same is true in your life and in my life. We all make mistakes. And if God didn't use imperfect people, then he wouldn't use any of us. And yet God does. And yet the overarching, most comforting, I think, ultimate purpose of the story of Samson, obviously, is to point us to Christ, to see in Samson echoes or reflections of the cross. And, you know, a little over 1,000 years later, another angel would come to another woman and tell her, you're going to conceive and bear a son. And that son, this one's name will be not Samson, but Jesus, because he will save his people. And, you know, Samson, in the last act of his life, it was an act of self-sacrifice where he brought down the house, literally, and killed more Philistines in that final act than in the other rest of the acts of his life combined. And he delivered Israel, at least temporarily. Jesus, in the final act of his life, with an act of self-sacrifice, gives his life not to kill, but to save, to rescue, to ransom, and to redeem. And it's not a temporary deliverance, but rather for all of us who have trusted Christ with our lives, the ultimate judge, the ultimate deliverer, we are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, right, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away and the new has come. It is Jesus who breaks this cycle. He is the ultimate judge, is the one who breaks this cycle, who can make us new so that we are not destined to repeat these same mistakes over and over, but rather with new hearts and with new minds, we can worship God eternally in spirit and in truth. So let me take some time just to pray for you this morning. And then I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray. Ask the Lord to teach you from the story of Samson, and ultimately to celebrate the greater Samson, the ultimate judge and perfect deliverer, Jesus. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for these stories, the stories of Deborah, of Gideon, of Samson, for the warning, the warnings that they are to us at times, and also the encouragement that they are to us. And Father, ultimately, we thank you for Jesus, for our ultimate and perfect deliverer, for salvation, and for the way that you've shown us grace in Christ. And I pray for everyone listening this morning that they'd walk with you faithfully today. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Take some time just to pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.